Now, Jess, I don't think you understand how many copies of The Life Experiment I'm going to be needing to purchase the second it hits shelves. Oh my God, it's so good.
Oh, thank you. I was like, oh, I'm not sure if you'd read it. And then I was like, we can muddle through this together. But thank you
Oh.
so much for reading it. That's so
Oh my
exciting.
gosh, it was my absolute pleasure. Now, I don't want to give too much away, so I'll let you do a little summary of what the book is about because I know I'll spoil something.
So, yeah, my new novel, The Life Experiment, is about two strangers called Layla and Angus who are just lost for different reasons in their lives. Layla's kind of a workaholic city girl, kind of wondering if that's what she should be doing with her time, whereas Angus is someone who was born into this life of utmost privilege and he enjoyed it till he realized how shallow it was. And they're both at this kind of crossroads when they stumble upon an advert for an experiment that will tell participants the date they will die. Now, Layla and Angus think this is going to give me some direction. This will help answer my questions. So they both join. And on the day they find out their results, they meet by chance in a cafe. They don't know that each other's part of the experiment. And of course, with this being a romance, sparks fly. But because of the news they've just been given, they kind of need to go through their own personal journeys with their families and stuff before anything can happen. So that's my pitch without spoiling too much, I don't think. I think that's like the first 50 pages.
Absolutely perfectly done. Thank you. For so many years, people have kind of battled the question, would you rather know how or when you die? You cover the latter. Can you tell me what's inspired you to write about this topic?
So I actually started this novel in 2020. So it's been on my mind for a while because kind of my whole personal journey of ending up in Australia and writing books actually links back to the fact that in my early 20s, I lost one of my really good friends to cancer. And it was just this defining moment in my life where, you know, for years we'd talked about all the things he wanted to do. I knew he wanted to travel America and I knew he wanted to get married and have kids one day. And I learned from a really young age that sometimes people don't get the end of the story that they deserved. And that freaked me out so much because I think, you know, when you're in your early 20s, you just imagine you'll live forever. So I started after about, you know, 6 months of processing what happened. I was like, right, I've got to go to Australia because that's what I want to do and I've got to do this. And I really started moving through life quite aggressively. You know, I chased memories and moments and meeting people and had a lot of amazing times. But then COVID hit, and I had to actually stop and think about the fact that this event had shaped me in such a big and such a profound way. And I was writing thrillers at the time. And then The Life Experiment just started. I called it my like antidote to thrillers and my secret project. It was kind of just a book for me, and it was my way of processing actually everything that had happened. And all those things I kind of wish I'd said to my friend, or all the times I wish I'd have been braver for myself, and you know, looking at my future and thinking, is this what I want? Am I doing the right thing? Is moving through life at this pace right for me? So it actually was just a really kind of personal book, I guess. And then I moved to Melbourne, before moving to Canberra, and on my last day in Sydney, I said to my agent, like, I've written this thing. I'm not sure what it is. Do you want to have a look at it? And a few days later, he called me and was like, Jess, this is not a thing. He was like, this is a book that should be out there. So it's kind of a very strange publication journey. It was never really intentional to move into the romance sphere. But I think that's why this book has got a lot of emotion in it, because it just came from a really emotional place when I was writing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what, that's true. I think a big part of this book kind of, forces the reader to reflect on their life, because we don't often realize that we don't have much time left. So it forces us to think, what are we doing with our lives? Are we happy with who we are? Do you think it's necessary for people to reflect on their lives in this way?
I think there's a balance. I think if you don't think about that, I think sometimes that's when you end up, you know, age 67 with a lot of regret and thinking, I wish I'd have done this. And that's always terrified me. I've never wanted to do that. But then at the same time, if you go so far into, you know, making every moment count and this and that, and you're, you know, planning 5 years ahead and what are you doing, you don't enjoy the little moments along the way. So I hope that The Life Experiment is just a reminder to clock your balance, check your balance and how you're doing. Not to push anyone either way on either side, but yeah, I think you have to have some kind of introspection, but definitely get out of your head every once in a while too.
And I think balance is something that you really do well in this book, because you cover some really heavy materials, but at the end of the day, there is still this underlying, you know, optimism, you know, for life. Is this reflective of your own values when you consider mortality and things of the such?
Yeah, I feel like the way I've tried to live my life ever since losing my friend, and it's quite a cheesy way of wording it, but I think it works, is that there are always going to be things I want to do. You know, there are always places I want to see, and, you know, people I want to meet, and writing goals, and, you know, all the stuff you'd love to achieve. But I'm like, if in this exact moment I'm in right now, if everything ended, would I be happy with how I'd spent my time? And I think if I can go to bed going, yes, I used my time wisely. And, you know, that might mean having a bedrock day because that's what I need. That's okay. But that might also mean, you know, sending a book that you have worked for years on out into the world. And I think it's that balance. So I think I definitely like to live my life with a quiet optimism is how I'd say it.
Did you find yourself thinking about, you know, life differently after writing the book? Or what was the journey of you, you know, thinking about these really deep questions as you were writing?
I definitely think I've changed in the sense of just slowing down a little bit more. I was, like I said, I was quite aggressive with moving through life, and I have to go to Australia because it's what I said I want to do, and this very frantic pace about myself. I still have that. I'm definitely a bit of a workaholic, and love, you know, ideas and meeting people and all those wonderful things. But it has taught me just to slow down a little bit, and just the moments where you kind of realise, I'm obviously, as you can hear from my accent, I'm not from Australia, I'm from the north of England. And there's just moments I catch myself standing and looking around at my friends and the life I've built, and I'm like, I came to a country where I knew nobody, and I'm so lucky to have met these people and to have had these opportunities. And I think it's definitely made me just take those moments to stop and pause and think of all the people in all the world, how lucky am I to be in a room with these ones? Yeah. And those kind of really lovely moments that, yeah, kind of get you through the day.
And, you know, I think these people that you're talking about, they really come through in the characterization of, you know, the people in the book. You know, this book is championed by, you know, a really diverse range of different characters with really complex histories and approaches to life. How did these voices come about in the book? Were they kind of all your, you know, your own wisdom, or were they people in your real life that kind of inspired these other voices?
God, I've never, my own wisdom, I've never been called wise before. I'll take it. the life experiment, actually, because the characters are people that sign up for an experiment that tells them the day they're going to die, they were quite kind of, I suppose, quite easy to come up with, because you think, who would want to sign up for that? Like, what situations would people be in that would make you want to find out something so extreme? But the book was actually initially written as a 4-person narrative. So there were 4 characters who joined the experiment, whereas now it's Layla and Angus. So when I was working through the edits, Simon and Schuster, when they made the offer, they were like, we love this book, but Layla and Angus are just the characters we go back to. We want this to be a love story, which I was like, I'm absolutely happy with that. But the other 2 characters, I was like, I can't lose them. They are hearts of the story in their own way. So Layla's mum, Joanna, was actually her own separate life experiment character. And there's a small minor character, Alexander, who was in it. So I basically moved and built these different relationships that now I look back and I can't see the book in any other way other than this. But the characters just, it sounds cheesy to say they just came to me, but I think when you have a setup like a life experiment and you're thinking who would join in that, I think the people just come to mind because it's a certain type of person that definitively goes, yes, please tell me the day I'm going to die. Will this help me move forward in my life?
And do you think, well, would you sign up for that experiment if it was real?
I change my answer on a daily basis. I love asking people and hearing theirs. There are some days, like, look, I am 31 and I think I'm more lost than I was when I was 14. Like, and it's a wonderful feeling to be in the chaos, but it's also terrifying at the same time. So sometimes I'm like, yes, please tell me, because if I die at 40, then I'm not saving super. I'm going and having a great time. But then I was like, oh, if it's 87, I've got to start being a bit more sensible. Sometimes I would love to know, but then other times I'm just like, nah, just living your little moments with your friends. So honestly, I'm terrible. How about you? Would you join?
I think I have a bad case of curiosity killed the cat. So I think I definitely would sign up, and I don't know, maybe I'd regret it after.
You'd be the person that drops out the week before. You'd be like, I've signed up, but
I've done
I
through all the training, I've done all the physical tests,
can't.
but I can't close the
Yeah. That
envelope.
moment when it gets given to you, like, that's a definite sliding doors moment. There's only before and after.
That's right. I only tell me if it's good. But you know what? It's this kind of comedy and lightness that I can see in your own personal character that, comes out in these characters. How do you manage to bring out such lightness in this dark kind of subject?
It's really funny. With my first three books being thrillers, everybody who met me was like, you write crime fiction. And I was like, yes, I know. Like, surprise. But I do think generally I'm quite an optimistic person, so I think my writing tends to lean towards that. But again, it goes back to losing someone so young. And a lot of the time, a lot of the way we got through this, was just really dark humor, really dark humor. I remember being with my friend on kind of like the last day of his life, and he was kind of dripping in and out of consciousness, and his family and friends were there. And we were all making, if we say jokes, it sounds dark, but it was just the only way to get through it. You'd talk about the beautiful moments and the light moments, and you were so aware that the sadness was there. But sometimes I just think that laughter is the way to get through it. You know, we've all gone through breakups and things where we need our friends to make a joke, and you just go, you know what, it will be okay. And I think the resounding message is that it will be okay. There is always something to smile about, even when everything feels horrific and like there's nothing to laugh about. There will always be something, and I think it's the only way that gets you through.
I agree. I think, having those people to kind of talk to and be in your life is, definitely a big part of that as well. I think that's, ultimately part of the message of the book is that, life could be really short or it could be really long, but what matters is the people that you're with and making sure that everyone's life is that little much better. Oh, it was really such a pleasure to read. And I want to ask the main characters, well, the whole book really, it kind of is a standout in the romance section. It's hard to place if it's a romance or if it's an existential thriller. But I would say the romance is almost reminiscent of The Couple in One Day by David Nichols. And it's kind of
Oh,
married.
thank you.
I
It's like, that's the greatest compliment ever. I'm done. Thank you.
think. No, but really, it's fantastic writing, and I would say the kind of existentialist kind of thinking is almost not unsimilar to the work of Matt Haig. Would you say that these writers have been influences for your own personal writing, or who is your muse, if I may ask?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, when those comp names came through from my publisher and agent, I was just like, I'll take it. I'll take them and run. My biggest writing inspiration is actually, it goes way back to when I was a kid. I was always the the child, very academic, but I was writing stories and bringing them into my teacher. And as someone who does work as a primary school teacher, I imagine she was like, seven stories over the weekend, you want me to read by the afternoon? Okay. But I always had that side of me. But there's a UK author called Jacqueline Wilson. I'm not sure if she was big in Australia, but she wrote stories like Tracy Beaker and The Dustbin Baby, and there were these books aimed at children, but and so yeah, I'd say children and kind of like young teenagers, but they never treat you like you were a child. They always introduced quite heavy topics like growing up in a household where someone had mental health issues or growing up in foster care. And they were always done in this really beautiful balance of the light and the dark, and she just showed you the world. She never shied away from the fact that there were good bits and bad bits, and that they could go along side by side. And ever since I was a child, I don't write in that genre, I don't write children's fiction, but I was like, that's the kind of story I want to create, where you don't shy away from life. It's not like, we're pretending everything's sunshine and rainbows, but you do it with such heart and humility and humor. And even the quote unquote bad characters have a side to them that is redeeming. I think we all, as people, live in the grey. I've said things and done things I'm not proud of. I'm sure you have, and people listening have too. But that doesn't mean we're that forever. And I just loved that from a child, she showed me kind of mature, emotional maturity. And I think, just like I say, my books are not in that genre, but just that way of writing and yeah, bringing real people and real life to life was how I always wanted to do it.
And I think you have done it from reading your work 100%. I think there was balance. It was consistently I couldn't put it down to say it so
Thank
short.
you.
It was an excellent read. I do want to quickly ask you a few final questions. I actually did a little stalk. I saw on one of your bios, I think you're for your website, you said you love to talk about new book recommendations with some of your readers on Instagram. Is there something you're reading now that you want to share? What's the next thing we should be reading?
Oh, I love this. Do you know? I mean, it's not a new book, but I'm very late to the party. I literally finished this morning Beth O'Leary's The Road Trip, and I love Beth O'Leary. I would say up until about a year and a half ago, I'd never really read romance books. I was always, thriller, crime, and I still love all those genres. But I love that I love her writing. And then my favorite book of all time is The Book Thief by Marcus Zusak. Oh my gosh.
Brilliant
Such a
work.
good book.
So good.
A book written from the perspective of death, I was like, what? The geniusness of that.
Absolutely. I was kind of even getting a little bit of that hint at the very in the very last part of your book when the you have two characters the whole time and then a secret third character is kind of brought up. I'm just like, oh, she's done it. I knew there was something. I knew there was going to be something.
Amount of DMs I've had, again, no spoilers, but that last chapter, and I was like, I know, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry.
No, it was rude. was awful. No.
You think I'm done with you? Well, I'm not.
There was always an extra turn. Oh, I agree. And that's what I was saying. I couldn't stop flipping pages. But yeah, I won't take too much more of your time. Again, I really enjoyed reading The Life Experiment. Is there currently, it might be a bit too early to ask, are you working on anything else at the moment that you might want to preview at all?
All I can say is at the end of August, there shall be an announcement, is how I will word it.
I love that. Oh, another Jessica Ching surprise.
Yes. Like I said, you think I'm done with you? I'm not.
She's never done with you. I love that.